Our scripture tonight is a little bit different than normal. There are three passages I want us to look at tonight. So if you have your copy of the scriptures with you, the first one we'll take a look at is John chapter 13, verse 21, and then John chapter 13, verses 37 and 38. And then 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Hear these words of the living God. 1 John chapter 13, verse 21. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And then moving down to John chapter 13, verses 37 and 38. Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times." And then 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." Let's pray. Father, as we gather here tonight, we ask that you, Spirit, would lead us in this time. Immerse us in your word. Show us truth tonight as we look at your word, and remind us, Lord Jesus, remind us of the awful price that was paid on the cross. And in spite of betrayal and denial, you are faithful. The cross stood above all of that, and that's true today. We praise you, we thank you, and it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I'm Steve Thompson. I serve as one of the elders here at La Crescent Evangelical Free Church. It's a privilege to have you with us tonight on this Maundy Thursday. And the title of the sermon tonight is A Betrayal, A Denial, The Cross. And on the night before the Lord Jesus went to the cross, something bitter and painful happened. He was betrayed by Judas, one of his disciples. Another disciple, Peter, denied knowing Jesus. In fact, all of the disciples left him that night and fled. These were the very men that Jesus loved deeply. These were the very men he had chosen to be his own. And despite the disciples' failures and mistakes, the power of God was displayed in their weakness. The cross made all the difference. Indeed, immeasurable love was displayed to the disciples and to us in the cross. Now, I'm not talking about the wooden frame of the cross that you might see behind me tonight. That's not what we're talking about. No, we're alluding to the gospel, the word of the cross. The gospel is the good news message that Jesus' blood was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. That's why when we celebrate Good Friday tomorrow, that's why it's called good. What man meant for evil, God meant for good. So in order to apprehend the staggering magnitude of Jesus' love displayed in the cross, we need to take a look at three things that happened during the last days of the Passion Week, or some call it Holy Week. And here they are. Here's the three things. There was a bitter betrayal, and that was by Judas. There was a painful denial that night, and that was by Peter. And through all of it, thank goodness, there was immeasurable love, and that's Jesus and the cross. So what about that bitter betrayal by Judas? Picture in your minds, if you will, the Last Supper. The 12, the disciples, were gathered at the table. This would be the last meal the Lord would eat with His disciples, the 12, before His death on the cross. Jesus had challenged them at an earlier time whether they would continue to follow Him because many of His disciples had turned away. He had chosen them, yet one of them would betray Him. Take a look at what Jesus says about that in John chapter 6, verses 70 and 71. Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil." He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray Him. And according to the Bible, Judas shared in Jesus' ministry along with the other disciples. Everything appeared to be okay. Judas participated in all of Jesus' ministry. He was even appointed the keeper of the money bag, the proceeds of which was used to help the poor. But in the end, Judas turned away from Jesus and rejected the grace and mercy of God. In reality, Judas was following a path of destruction. When he realized what he had done in betraying the Lord, Judas experienced a worldly grief, which Scripture states produces death. And in fact, Judas hanged himself once he realized Jesus was condemned to die. Indeed, that night of the Lord's betrayal was bitter. However, a painful denial would occur as well by one of Jesus' disciples. In fact, one of His closest disciples, Peter. Let's take a look at that painful denial of Peter. And think about this. Much like Judas, Peter was also at the Last Supper. His feet had been washed by Jesus just like the rest of the disciples. Who would have thought Peter would deny knowing the Lord? Not once, but three times. After all, Peter had been a close companion with Jesus from the very beginning of the Lord's ministry. He was with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane that very evening when the Lord's agony was manifested by His sweat becoming like great drops of blood. Here was the man who boldly stated that he would die with Jesus. Yet the Lord revealed the truth as indicated in Luke chapter 22, verses 33 and 34. Let's take a look at what it says there. Peter said to Him, "Lord, I am ready to go with You both to prison and to death." And Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny Me three times that you know Me." Now, when Peter denied Jesus three times, the account in the book of Luke states that the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And I believe Jesus' face would have communicated compassion instead of condemnation. His look would have shown exceeding love instead of exasperation. His glance would have been one of tenderness instead of frustration. Jesus' look must have communicated to Peter, "I love you so," not "I told you so." Even so, Peter must have felt excruciating guilt and shame. Perhaps the pain of his denial was too much to bear. That's probably why Scripture says Peter went out and wept bitterly. His faith in the Lord faltered. Yet after Jesus' resurrection, He encouraged Peter when the Lord affirmed his faith at the breakfast on the beach. You see, God's faithfulness remains steadfast and true, even when we're faithless. That's the good news message of the gospel. That's the immeasurable love of Christ displayed in the cross. And what about that immeasurable love Indeed, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, humbled himself and despised the shame of the cross. And as a result, sin and death were defeated. And here's Jesus, the Son of God, sinless and perfect in every way. Yet he was hanged on a cross. And for all who receive him by faith, Scripture says he became a criminal and a curse for us. Think about that, church. He willingly received punishment for our sin as appointed by God. His humility and his obedience were evident in his suffering to the point of death, even death on a cross. Recently at one of our men's ministry meetings, one of the gentlemen said this, and I thought it was just profound. He said, "The cross put me to death. The cross put me to death." In other words, for those in Christ, we've died to sin and lived to righteousness. By his wounds, we've been healed. We've been crucified with Christ, and we live by faith in him because he loved us and gave himself up for us. Whatever the sin, whether it be betrayal or denial, the cross reveals it all and heals it all. That's really good news. Yes, Jesus' immeasurable love is truly displayed in the cross. The breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of his love surpasses knowledge. Jesus' love for his disciples and for us. If you're in Christ, that love is incredibly great, more than we could ever imagine. And it's perfect and complete, and it's for you. And John chapter 13, verse 1 says this about that. John chapter 13, verse 1 says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." And the word "end" in the context here can be defined as perfect and complete. It doesn't have a temporal or spatial connotation. Jesus' love is perfect and complete today, tomorrow, and for all eternity. The Lord Jesus has that kind of love for you and me. You ever think about that? He has that kind of love for you and me. And all we have to do is accept that gift of God's love in Christ. Judas rejected Jesus' love. Peter received it. What about you? Have you made seemingly insurmountable mistakes? I know I have. Both Peter and Judas did. They both served with Jesus, listened to him preach, indeed longed for his kingdom to come. But there was a difference. When the bottom gave out and their sin overcame them, one gave up and one reached out. One gave up and one reached out. Maybe you've rejected the good news of the gospel. Or maybe you're pretending to have received the grace and mercy of God displayed in the cross. And if so, repent and believe. Turn away from sin and turn toward Jesus. There's room at the cross for the vilest offender. Believe me, I'm living proof. And what about those of us who are followers of Christ, perhaps for decades, much like Peter and Judas, were prone to mistakes and failure? And like Peter, by God's grace, we've been adopted into God's family. We're declared by God as a new creation in Christ. We have the assurance that all of our sin past, present, and future has been forgiven and forgotten. The cross makes the difference. And that's one of the reasons why here in just a few minutes we're going to celebrate and remember the Lord Jesus with the bread and the cup at the table of the Lord. No need to wallow in our sin, but every reason to rejoice in His grace and mercy. As we wrap this message up, think about this, church. Jesus chose His betrayer and the one who would deny knowing Him. He loved them perfectly and completely. But here's the thing. In the end, Judas died in sin. Peter died to sin. And the Lord Jesus died for sin. And in Peter's case, again, the cross made all the difference. Even though he had denied knowing Jesus, Peter went on to preach and teach in the powerful name of Jesus. And according to Scripture, God uses the lowly. God uses the lowly so that His power is made perfect in weakness. Your preacher is a living example tonight. How about you? How about you? So here's a final question for all of us. How will you, how will I, how will we, as the failure-ridden, mistake-laden church, display God's power in our weakness so that a dying and chaotic world will see the immeasurable love of Christ displayed in the cross? It won't be easy, but remember, by God's grace and mercy, whatever He does in His grace and mercy will be sufficient. That's because Jesus is victorious. The cross is proof. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Would you pray with me, church? Father, as we have heard Your word, we realize that our sin is horrible. It's hideous. And yet, You came as the God-man, the one who would save us from our sin, that Your blood that was shed on the cross would cleanse all sin. And tonight, Father God, as we have heard this message, and now as we prepare for the table of the Lord, how much we thank You and praise You that we could come here tonight and be together as the faith family that You have put together here as Your church. May we praise You and just worship You now in this time that we remember that the cross made all the difference. Thank You, Lord, so much. We praise You and thank You. Amen.